When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
You're listening to the Husker Cuzcast Sports Show. Now, here's Justin Fielder, Derek Stafford, and Tyler Schaefer.
Hello, and welcome to the Husker Cuzcast Sports Show. This is a Herd at Sports podcast. Justin here, along with cousins Derek and Tyler. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at HuskerCuzCast for all podcast updates and more. This week, we will be talking about the Big Ten win totals that came out. FanDuel released the 2024 win totals for all 18 Big Ten teams. We've been wanting to do this for a little while because these are always fun filler episodes. I want to let you know that these are not breakdowns of the teams. We will be doing breakdowns of the teams this summer. This is just something fun to go over the lines. You know, this is beer drinking talk, right? Right, Tyler?
Oh, yeah. This is totally barroom. Hey, how are they going to be this year? So if we get anything wrong, I don't want to hear in the comments section that, oh, so-and-so left, or you didn't know this guy transferred? We're not there yet. We're not there yet. So this is going to be high-level, subject-to-change talk. So. Yes.
Indeed. Derek, do you agree? I know you're going to be busting out some huge knowledge on us and, like, trying to get Tyler catch him on an, I gotcha.
You know me. Interesting nugget on these teams. There was a note that came out today on Minnesota that I found a little interesting. Minnesota is not going to have a spring game.
Really?
In fact, they are only going to allow one practice with media availability.
Did they say why?
I didn't read the article. Just read the gist of it. I just found it interesting that they weren't going to have a spring game.
Well, let's get into that, because that's the first team, isn't it, Justin?
That is the first team. So the way that I structured this, guys, is I'm starting with the win totals, the least amount of wins to the most wins. So Minnesota is first on the docket here. FanDuel has them at 4.5 wins for 2024. Last year, they went 6-6. Tyler, I'm going to lead it off with you.
Well, so you picked a hard one to start off with. This is probably one of the three hardest ones, because I really don't know what to make of this Minnesota team. They bring in a FCS quarterback to take the reins. You know, they've been traditionally good the last few years, 9 wins pretty much consistently until last year. But something just doesn't feel right in Minnesota. And Derek, you kind of hit on the thing I was going to bring up with what's going on in the spring and the way PJ Fleck's been adding. Like, it's just all signs are kind of pointing to a bottom falling out. Really, really hard for me to get a read on this team. Definitely one I'll probably dive into. But, like, there's just something that stinks about this line. This just seems like Vegas knows something's not right there. PJ knows something's not right there. All of this tells me I think they're going to have a really bad year, and I'm going to go under.
Under. Okay. Derek?
Wow. This was one of the easiest ones for me, and I'm probably going to get hammered for this, but I believe in PJ Fleck. I think he's a good coach. I don't like him, but I do think he's a good coach.
I don't know if Minnesota fans agree with you there right now.
Well, I call it what it is, I guess. Their schedule's a pretty difficult schedule, but to not be able to get at least 6 wins out of this schedule, would blow me away. I think it'll be a little bit of a tough year for Minnesota. But at this point, Tyler, you talked about, they're getting used to winning 9, 10, maybe even 11 games, and all of a sudden they only won 6. I don't see them going under 6. PJ Flex, I think, is too good of a coach. And Max Brosmer, that quarterback that you talked about coming in, like, set every FCS record with his passing yards. So I think they have a relatively good quarterback. Whether it translates into the FBS, we'll see. But I do think he's a good quarterback, and I think PJ Fleck will do enough to win some games.
Yeah, so I'm the tiebreaker here, and I have over. I mean, PJ Fleck and 4.5, that just doesn't sound right. Their schedule, what I did for all of these teams, I went through and using my highly scientific method of evaluating a schedule, I just went hard or easy, right? They got an easy for me. I think they have a very easy schedule. Not very easy, but they have a manageable schedule to where I think that they would definitely get over 4.5. Whether they get to 6 or 7 or 8 wins, I don't know. But I do know that it's going to be minimum of 5. It's too good. I mean, you know, they're out of conference. They have North Carolina, which is tough in the opener. But they have Rhode Island and Nevada. I mean, come on. Those aren't hard. I don't know. I'm not going to break down the entire schedule here, but over 4.5, easy for it. Easy. Purdue, they are the other team in the Big Ten that has a win total of 4.5. Last year, they went 4-8. Derek.
So this one I struggle with a little bit because 4.5 is still a pretty low over-under. Purdue's really, really, really struggled last year. They have a good quarterback in Hudson Card. I don't know what that defense is going to be, and it struggled a lot last year, even with Ryan Walters being the defensive mind that he is. They got Notre Dame and Oregon State both in their non-conference schedule. That's a tough non-conference schedule for a team like Purdue. Notre Dame's probably tough for anybody, but you had Oregon State in there. Even with a new coach at Oregon State, that's still a tough team, I think. I went under. I don't know if Ryan Walters, he might just be a little in over his head there at Purdue.
Yeah, I like Ryan Walters. I think he will get it figured out. There's a lot to like about Purdue. I mean, like, and I thought that last year going into the year, I just didn't think he was going to figure it out year one. You know, looking at year two, this was a team that was a candidate for toughest schedule for me. You know, I think they avoid 3 of those Pac-12 teams that are coming over, which, I'll be honest, those names scare you. We'll get into those more. Those teams, not so much. So I almost look at that as a bad thing for Purdue. They do that. You hit the non-conference schedule. I know Oregon State lost Jonathan Smith, but, like, that's still going to be tough to go up to Oregon State, Corvallis.
Oh, Corvallis.
Corvallis is, I got there before it, but go up to Corvallis and
you can ride your bike everywhere.
You can. Notre Dame's tough. And then the thing that's actually really interesting, they have 2 back-to-back road games in the Big Ten. So they have a lot of road. They have Wisconsin, Illinois back-to-back on the road. And then they end at Michigan State, at Indiana on the road. 2 of those teams I think people perceive as easier games. I think that schedule really doesn't shape up well for them. I'm going to go under.
Under? So that is 3 unders. I'm under also. Going 4-8 last year, they kind of struggled. They do have a good quarterback, right? I wanted to find a way to get them over for some reason. I think Ryan Walters is likable, right?
He is very likable, and I do like him. I just wonder if he's in over his head there a little bit.
I just think it was such a culture change. I think that is it's what Nebraska did for 20
years. You're right, it is.
Go from Jeff Brohm to a defensive mind, it seems like that's a couple-year process.
Yeah, I just don't know if this is the year that they do it, I guess.
No, and I don't think any of us, well, we obviously don't think that 5 is in the books. It's all under 4.5. It's going to be tough, but which is okay because, you know, Nebraska has to beat somebody, right? And Nebraska doesn't even, yeah, I think we do play Purdue. My God, I was sound like an idiot. Okay, Illinois, 5.5 is the win total by FanDuel. Last year, Illinois went 5-7. Tyler, back to you.
Yeah, tough defensive line replacing. Trying to replace Johnny Newton and Keith Randolph is going to be just a chore for them. I am not convinced that they have replaced Walters. I know Bielma is a great defensive coach. I know he knows this stuff. I think the jury is still out on Aaron Henry down there. I think Illinois fans are a little bit nervous about this, make or break for him. And I don't know about their quarterback. And I think one thing you'll hear about a theme of mine as we kind of go further is when I'm like, they haven't got a coaching question there. And I think they have that defensive coordinator. And then they have a quarterback question. It generally isn't popping over for me. And that's where I'm at on Illinois. I think they got that question mark on those two spots. So I'm going to go under.
Derek.
You know, last year when we did the most intriguing non-conference games, I kind of got mocked for having Kansas and Illinois in there. Well, there's a rematch this year, and I think it's another intriguing game. Only problem is I think Illinois is struggling a little bit more than Kansas is at this point. I think Kansas is, like, clearly the better team. Brett Bielma, I hate to look past Brett Bielma because I know he's a good coach. I know he's had teams that have overachieved more than underachieved. But I'm looking at the schedule and I'm seeing Kansas at home. And after they get through their non-conference, they have to go on the road to Nebraska and then Penn State. They got to go to Oregon on the road. They got a fairly tough schedule. And I'm struggling to see bowl eligibility this year for Illinois, so I'm going to go under.
That's all three of us. Back-to-back unders for us. Purdue, we were all under. Illinois, under, for the same reasons Tyler said. Moving on to Indiana. So just so everybody knows, or all the listeners know, there are six teams in the Big Ten that FanDuel has listed at 5.5. That is nuts right there. This is the second 5.5 win team in Indiana who went 3-9 last year. New head coach, Derek, up to you.
Man, I'll tell you what, with a new head coach, it's tough to turn it around. I don't know if they have the team. They're not a completely untalented team, but they only won 3 games last year. New head coach coming in trying to change everything around. It's going to be tough. They have a really easy non-conference schedule with FIU, Western Illinois, and Charlotte. But that might be their only 3 wins. I don't know if I see them much more after that. Maybe 1 or 2, but I definitely can't see them getting bowl eligibility. I got them under.
Tyler?
Yeah, Tom Allen seemed to have those guys playing reasonably tough through last year. Bringing in the new coach from James Madison, step up in competition, step up there. Again, Indiana was 3 wins. Do I think that a coaching change is going to get them 3 more wins? I don't. That seems like quite the jump for them. So I'm going under.
So
this one was difficult because I think they have the schedule that's manageable enough to hit the over. I just don't have enough confidence
in the roster
to say that I think Indiana's going to win.
Yeah.
So the new head coach for Indiana from James Madison, I mean, what have you guys heard? Is he well-received at Indiana? Because I know that was kind of like one of those hires where it was like, huh, really? You hired him? Huh, okay.
I wish I could answer that. I don't know a ton of Indiana fans.
I don't think I know any Indiana fans.
I don't think there is any. Do they exist?
Not
even
football.
If they do, it's for basketball. It's not.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was a puzzling hire. But you know what? Nebraska, they've made questionable hires in the past, so who are we to judge, right? this is going to be our third unanimous pick. I have under as well.
5.5 just seems too steep for this team coming back. New head coach, which it's there's a big difference when you come to the Big Ten to coach, right? I mean, it's not easy, but unders, three unders. So Northwestern, the third 5.5 win team by FanDuel, they went 7-5 last year with an interim coach. He gets the full-time gig, so good for him. Tyler, I think we're to you.
Yeah, I mean, David Braun last year came on the scene, coached his butt off, had Northwestern playing. You mentioned a bowl game last year, 7-5. I mean, of course we go from Pat Fitzgerald to Dave Braun, and I feel like we've got the same thing, a really well-coached team. Interesting about Northwestern this year is how well is their home field advantage going to be? Because they're building a new stadium. I don't know where they're playing their games. I don't know if you guys know. Haven't looked into that. But I know that it's supposed to be under construction this year. So I don't know how that plays into everything. I'm going to go over here. I think that they find a way back to a bowl game again. I think that they're just kind of that Northwestern team that's going to hang around. So I'm going to go over.
Derek?
All right, so I'm gonna be the devil's advocate here. I like David Braun. He deserved that job. Without question, he deserved that job for what he did last year. I think there was a little motivation last year with a lot of the team being upset with Pat Fitz being fired the way he was. I think they used a lot of that last year to kind of win some of these games. I don't think they're gonna have that this year, and I. Just not convinced yet that Dave Braun's going to be the coach that everyone thinks he is yet. And I don't know. I could see Northwestern really struggling this year, and I went under slightly on this one.
You don't like their schedule? You don't think they have a favorable schedule, Derek?
I mean, I hate to judge them on non-conference games because they always seem to lose those. They got Duke. Miami, Ohio, and Eastern Illinois. I mean, they should win at least two of those with ease, but they don't do that. That's not how Northwestern wins any game. I don't know.
So I have over. You know, I thought it was pretty funny. Last year, Pat Fitzgerald's the head coach, and I can't remember what the season win total was. Was it like 3.5 games or something like that? Some ridiculously amount. Yeah. And I think we all had under for 3.5 games last year. David Braun comes over and he takes over and he's never even been a head coach before, right? Defensive coordinator in FCS, comes to Northwestern as defensive coordinator, gets the job by default because he was the only one that wasn't really around the whole scandal that was going on. And he takes this team to a level that none of us even foresaw, right? And we all liked Pat Fitzgerald. We thought he was a really good coach. Maybe it seemed like he was on the downward spiral with the way his teams have been in recent years. But we still liked him. Well, David Braun, he took the Pat Fitzgerald to another level. And I think he's going to do that. I think what he demonstrated last year with the big turnover that he had, with all the players leaving and opting, or not opting out, but transferring. That was not a good roster that he coached last year. And the way that they got them to play, I think he's a great coach. I think he's a brilliant coach. And I expect more of that of him this year. 5.5, I think Northwestern, they will go bowling once again. They'll either match or exceed that 7-win mark this year. So good for David Braun. Michigan State, 5.5 wins. They were 4-8 last year. Derek.
Oh, this was another tough one for me. I'm going to go slightly over. I like Jonathan Smith. I think he's a good coach. They have a relatively favorable non-conference schedule. Only tough game is at Boston College, maybe. I don't know if you really consider that a tough game, but at least it's a Power 5 conference. Other than that, they have Prairie View and Florida Atlantic. They do get Ohio State and Oregon. which will be tough back-to-back games. But then they get a bye, and they got their bye week set up well for them. I like Jonathan Smith. I think he brought over some pretty good talent with him from Oregon State, especially that quarterback, Aiden Chiles, I think is his name. Not sure if that's quite how you say it, but whatever.
Tyler will let you know. Tyler, how do you say that?
Sounded good to me, guys.
But I do think that Jonathan Smith will do some pretty good things with Michigan State. And I do have him going just slightly bowling this year. I just had him over that half game.
Is it Chiles or Chiles?
I thought it was Chiles. But
whatever.
But... Yeah, no, I mean, Derek, I'm with you on...
I like Chile better than I like Chiles, so...
I'm with you on the Michigan State thing. you look at the Michigan State schedule, I think it's actually fairly favorable. I think they got that mid-season double buys in there, come at a good time to really break up the schedule. But this is really how I feel about Jonathan Smith. I think, you look at some of the coaching changes that have happened in the Big Ten. I mean, I think he is a home run hire. I know when we were looking at coaches a couple years back, I mean, he was a name that I was like, I wouldn't hate it if we brought him in. I mean, I think he's a really good coach. What he did at Oregon State was damn impressive. Derek, you mentioned he was able to bring some of those guys with him. I think he gets the Spartans ready to play, and I think they can get bowling. So, yeah, I'm going to go over.
Yeah, this is one of the tougher teams to evaluate. Just coming in, 4-8 last year, they got a great coach, but I'm not overly familiar with the roster that he's inheriting, who's all there yet. But
I could tell you this much, and I don't know a ton about their roster, but I do know they had three other quarterbacks transfer out.
Yes.
And I believe he brought in three transfer quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So they got a complete overhaul in the quarterback room.
So I have a slight over, but I am not sold onto it. Tyler, I failed to write yours down. You said over as well.
Yep.
Yeah, so all three of us have over for Michigan State. Moving to Rutgers, 5.5 wins by FanDuel. Rutgers surprised everybody by going 7-5 last year. Tyler.
Well, as the resident Greg Schiano hater on the podcast.
That's you.
That was me. This is one of the toughest ones for me. When I look at this, one of the easiest schedules, I think, in the conference. You know, no Michigan, no Ohio State, no Penn State. Like, there is a lot to like about that schedule. I think that it shapes up pretty good for them overall. Not really a tough non-conference at Vautech. This is a byproduct of that schedule for me, so I'm going to go over here.
Look at you coming around to Greg Schiano.
I'm not quite there yet, but Derek, be over.
I agree with pretty much everything Tyler said, except for I do think Greg Schiano's a good coach. I got slight over on this one. I think Virginia Tech's a pretty tough game for him on the road. But overall, I still think they have a fairly manageable schedule enough to get to at least 6 wins.
So what's interesting is they have a new quarterback on the roster, the transfer from Minnesota, Ethan Kalikmanis. And so I don't know who's going to start there. Is it Gavin Wimsett? Is he going to continue with what
imagine.
He has? But it's a good thing if they have a quarterback controversy, right?
You definitely want a competition, right?
Yeah. I mean, quarterback competition is good, so... I think they're going to be in good hands. I think their defense is going to be strong, like it usually is under Greg Schiano. He's a genius coach, Tyler. So I have over as well. So all three overs, we agree once again here.
You know, guys, we're not going to win anymore. We like to argue awards. I mean, this has been – we've had two disagreements tonight.
Hey, you know what? FanDuel, they just have poor lines, I guess.
Yeah, we should go make some bank.
Yeah, I'm sure we will excel in all of these unanimous picks of ours. All right, moving to UCLA, 5.5 wins is their season projection. They went 7-5 as well last year. Derek, to you.
This is another easy one for me. I went under. I'm not thrilled with the coach that they hired. I think they would have been better off hiring Tony White. I'm glad they didn't. But I think they'd have been better off hiring him than the guy they did. There were so many other coaching names that could have been out there that you could have picked up. I don't know. Maybe he'll prove me wrong. They got a tough non-conference schedule going to LSU. Sorry.
Fresno State. Fresno State's not Fresno an State. Easy one.
Hawaii. I don't know what Hawaii's going to be, but I mean, I don't know. The LSU makes it tough no matter what. And then I don't like the way their schedule sets up. I don't know about this new – most of it's on the coach, so I just don't know what this coach is going to be able to do. They lost their quarterback in the transfer portal. He was a five-star – I believe he was like the number one overall recruit at one point. And they lost him to the transfer portal. This doesn't look good for year one for a coach. Heading into a new conference, playing a bunch of teams you don't know. It just doesn't look good for UCLA at all to me.
Tyler.
I mean, Derek, this was by far the easiest one for me to pick. This is an under. This might be the worst team in the conference when it's all said and done. I think that you look at all of these Pac-12 teams coming over, I think are going to have some.
I will tell you this. No matter what, they will probably have the lowest attendance in the conference.
That's easily. That's an easy one. I will say, though.
Northwestern says, hold my beer.
I will pencil in the. Yeah, I mean, it. No, it's going to be tough. But no, the schedule's brutal. Change over the Big Ten. That means all these games are going to be tougher for them. Chip Kelly, you know, abandoning them to go to Ohio State and then losing more. They lost their quarterback to in conference. I mean, I think that's a lot of up in the air losing Dante Moore, one of their better quarterbacks in the conference, or it could have been. So I think they've got a lot up them. This is an easy under.
Yeah, it was an easy under for me as well. I think they're only getting
shock surprise.
No, I know.
Justin hating on UCLA.
The biggest shock in podcast history if Justin would set over.
Yeah. I mean, I think, I'm not going to lie. I had under written down before I even looked at their schedule or anything, right? I'm not a fan of UCLA. I
will never understand the hate of that one.
Well, there's a lot of teams to hate. I chose them. UCLA, as you look in there, they just have a lot of issues. I think that they're only at 5.5 because they won 7 games last year. I really do. I believe that by the time the football season comes around, fall comes around, I bet some will have this line down to 4.5. I think 4.5 would probably be a better line for this one. I think this is the easiest under on in the Big Ten. So 3 unders. Moving to Wisconsin. Now we're moving to the only team set at 6.5 wins for 2024. They also went 7-5 last year. Tyler.
Last year Wisconsin had an identity crisis. They didn't know what they wanted to be. Obviously the change in the culture really happened last year. So they lost Allen. They lost Mordecai. I think they've got a brutal schedule. While I do think Tyler Van Dyke is a good get from Miami, I don't know if that's enough to propel this team. I kind of see this kind of getting a little bit ugly there. So I'm going to go under.
Okay. Under? Derek?
I went over with these guys. I like the quarterback they brought in from Miami, that Van Dyke. I still think Luke Fickle's probably a good coach. I struggle to see Wisconsin coming up with only 6 wins this year. I think they'll get up at least to that 7.
See, I'm an under as well, and I'm not talking about a drastic under, but I think they max out at 6 wins looking at their schedule.
They do have a tough schedule. I'll give you that. I mean,
they got a hard schedule. Alabama.
That Alabama game. But what's Alabama going to be this year? Like,
they got a good coach. They got a good guy to replace Saban. I don't know if it'll work out for him, but
they still have an Alabama roster. I mean, yeah. let's Let's not pretend
they,
like
they do. But I give I mean, DeBoer has like 3 to 5 years to go to national championship before he's out of there.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's not going to work for him. But he's a good coach. I mean, his next job will be really good.
Yeah, but this schedule is difficult, but it's not super difficult, right? I mean,
you get Penn State at home, you get Oregon at home. Those will be tough games.
Did Alabama you just say Purdue's home. A tough game at home?
No, I said, oh, I'm sorry. Did I? I meant Penn State. Oh. I said Purdue.
I was going to say, we all had them under. Under 4.5.
I apologize. I probably did misspeak because I seen Purdue right next to a couple other games. So I might have misspoke. I'm sorry. No, but they have Penn State at home.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next batch. There are 5 teams at 7.5.
I guess mine's different because I had Maryland at 6.5.
You according had to the Maryland at 6.5.
The Twitter, yeah, the Twitter page I had said Maryland at 6.5. But
okay, is it?
I guess it doesn't matter.
Is that by FanDuel or who is that?
By FanDuel, yeah.
Really?
Via FanDuel Sportsbook.
Maybe it already changed.
Maybe it did already change.
Okay.
Because that was taken when it very first came out, so maybe it changed.
All right.
So I'll have to look at my Maryland picks again.
One of us is probably correct. All right.
Yeah, but it really makes a big difference because I have them at 7. I'll just go ahead and go first because I have them at 7 wins. And so we're going by yours, I guess it's under. If we're going by mine, it's over. Maryland was a tough one to pick. I don't know what they're going to be without Tagovailoa. But, man, they got a gravy non-conference schedule with UConn and Villanova. I didn't even know they had a football team.
I thought the same thing. I was like, wait, is this basketball? Did I click on the right link?
And at Virginia, I guess, could be a tough game, but Virginia hasn't been very good. They missed Michigan. They missed Ohio State. They do have Oregon, Penn State, but I don't know. I have them at 7 wins, so I guess we'll go by Justin since he's the host, and I'll say under.
Under. All right. Tyler?
Yeah, I mean, again, very tough one. The schedule, I think, is on the favorable side with no Michigan, no Ohio State. I think losing Tagovailoa is a huge deal. Loxley, you know how he does September, October, so you start looking at those games and you're like, okay, well, Maryland's probably going to start off 4-0, 5-0 before that bye October 5th. So that you get the 5 wins starting off the year, then they get Northwestern, USC at home back-to-back. I think they can get one. You start pushing that down the stretch, Rutgers to end the year, Iowa at home, possible win. I talked myself into 8 wins for them, so I got the over with very little confidence because Tagovailoa is gone, and that's I don't know what life after him is going to be.
Okay. I have under in this one as well. It didn't matter if the under was going to be 7.5 or 6.5, truthfully. I had under. I think 6 is about their peak. I think that's their ceiling with the schedule. So, Derek, you and I have unders. Tyler, you have over, which is pretty interesting there. All right, back to Iowa, 7.5. They won 10 games last year, 10-2 regular season. Tyler.
I mean, addition by subtraction, losing their offensive coordinator. Defense is going to be back and really tough again. Cade, hey, maybe he can stay healthy. They've got the schedule. I mean, all things, it pains me to say, are in the runnings for Iowa to be over. And again, probably a dark horse to be a 10-win team, 9-win team again. I mean, things shape up really well for them, I think, this year. So it pains me. But I got the over. This was a fairly easy one.
Derek?
Yeah, it's tough. And I agree with you, Tyler. It pains me too. But, man, the schedule sets up real nice for them. And all this offensive coordinator has to do is get them into some kind of mediocre type offense. They don't need to be a great offense.
Just average 25 points a game, right? That's the standard?
I mean, average 20, and you're probably still winning 9-10 games. Because you know Phil Parker's defense is going to stop everybody to probably 18 points a game at max.
And I just want to go back, because last year, like, with everything that happened with Bryant, like, and the fact that they still had that type of year, just, God, when is Ferentz retiring? We need that guy gone.
We don't need Ferentz gone. We need Phil Parker gone.
A little bit of Northwestern situation. Lose the key defensive coordinator, and hopefully it comes
I know I'm on an island here, but I don't hate Kirk Ferentz at all. I think he's a likable guy.
I think you're not a likable guy.
I knew that would be your response.
What do you want from Jeffrey the Greek?
I mean, does he owe you money?
No, it doesn't matter. I like Kirk Ferentz. I don't hate Iowa as much as you guys.
Tyler, gun to your head, PJ Fleck or Kirk Ferentz?
Oh, Ferentz.
See? I'm right. I'm right.
I'll row that boat all goddamn day.
I mean, there is no coach in the Big Ten that's less likable than PJ Fleck.
Kirk Ferentz.
Really?
There's a topic for about a month from now. Least likable coaches in the Big Ten.
Huh.
Because Lincoln Riley's not, I mean, welcome to the Big Ten. I mean, he's not winning.
Yeah, Lincoln Riley and whoever coaches UCLA. Completely unlikable. All right, so I have over. This is like the easiest over. I mean, you give Iowa 7.5 wins, Kirk Ferentz, and I mean, yeah, over all day long. All right, here we go. Nebraska, 7.5 wins. Nebraska went 5-7 last year, guys. Nebraska has not been bowl eligible in decades. Complete decades.
I've lost count. Yeah. I used to be able to count how many years we've done this podcast it back up, but we've been doing this long enough that it's getting
since
tough to
2016.
Remember.
Yeah. It's like, wow, we've been doing a podcast for decades.
Well,
And we've seen one bowl game. It also
used to be easy because it was like, well, how long has Scott Frost been here? And then add one. That's what it was. Well, now it's getting tough because now we have to count when Rule doesn't make a bowl. Like, it's too many coaches to remember.
No kidding.
So,
all right, Derek, this one's to you.
It ends this year, boys. Not only does it end this year, but Nebraska hits the over.
That'll
call me a homer. Call me a homer, but the schedule sets up great for Nebraska. I think there's a good possibility Nebraska starts off the year 7-0. So if they can't come up with at least one more win, then I guess I'm just done.
If you survive the Frost years, you can survive a 7-5 season, okay? Tyler?
Last year, the defense was there. I think the defense is going to be back. I think we're going to get more out of that quarterback room than we had last year. And Derek, you're right. The schedule, I don't know if it's as easy as last year, but it's definitely comparable. I mean, this is a very easy schedule.
I think it's actually easier than last year's, but
yeah, it's an easy schedule. And so I think all signs point to it. I don't want to say like if we go under, red flags are going off, because you could still get to 6-7 and probably be okay. But I mean, this would be a little bit of a nut punch if you don't get that 8 wins. So I do think this is a good year to kind of start turning it around. And we've seen Matt Rhule take significant jumps in year 2. He did it at Baylor. So, I mean, there's no reason to believe he can't do it at Nebraska. So I'm going to go over.
Can I point out, every single year we do the podcast, even during the Frost years, you two were always like 8 or 9 wins. It didn't matter. Like, Frost goes 3-9. Yep, we're winning 8 or 9 the next year. You guys are always like, Derek, you said it, homer. You are the homer. It's like, I don't mean to be a homer. You're a homer. Okay?
God dang right I am. That's why I do a podcast.
Yeah.
Well, and I just want to say, Justin, I was wrong a lot. I admit it. Yeah. But you know what I was also wrong about? Top 25 defense. You know what happened last year?
Yeah, yeah.
Top 25 defense. I'm coming around. My right
if
is turning
you say
to
it every single year, you're bound to be right.
Right? And this year, we're going to win games.
The difference is between previous years is I agree with you guys. I am going over as well. I think this schedule is very easy by the standards of the Big Ten, how they are with all the new additions. I think they got a very easy schedule. They lucked out. And it benefits Nebraska, or it benefits Matt Rhule, actually, the way this schedule lays out and who he has coming in. Plus, Dylan Raiola. I mean, we have an instant upgrade at quarterback, right? Instant upgrade. So there's a good chance that Nebraska could start off 7-0, right? I mean,
I think Derek, what,
probably better than an 80% chance, right?
I will say this: Nebraska will be favored in the first 7 games.
Yeah. So maybe 80% win them or not, chance.
That's another story. But yeah, we will at least be favored in every game.
It's probably a better than 50% chance that Nebraska starts off the year 7-0, right? So all you gotta do is find one win down the stretch between Ohio State
and we have that garbage UCLA team.
Garbage UCLA at home. Add a weak poverty USC, which is UCLA's ugly stepsister, Wisconsin and Iowa. Manageable. Completely manageable. So, over all day long. All right, let's talk about USC's ugly stepsister. 7.5 wins is their 2024 total. They went 7-5 last year also. Derek.
Under. Put all your money on the under.
Wow, that's bold.
This is a brutal schedule, guys. They got LSU and Notre Dame for non-conference games. I mean, they got, they're at Michigan. They got Wisconsin coming. They're gonna have to Wisconsin coming in the week after that. Their bye weeks are terrible. They get a bye week their third week. Like, what a terrible time to get a bye week.
It's kind of like the Nebraska treatment when they go to the Big Ten, right?
Yeah.
The shittiest schedule. I mean,
they get Penn State. They got a tough Rutgers team that I could never know what they're going to do. If Nebraska's defense is as good as it was last year, that's going to be a tough game for them. I do not like the schedule for USC. I do not like USC's chances in the Big Ten to start out. It's going to take some bumps and bruises, I think, that Lincoln Riley's got to learn defense is important in the Big Ten. And I understand he's got a new defensive coordinator, but I don't think he fixes things in year one.
Tyler?
Yeah, this one was on the tough side for me to pick. USC in the last 20 years have only failed to get to 8 wins 3 times. And I know those Pac-12, but the talent in L.A. is good. The equation for me is, you know, when you look at quarterback, losing Caleb Williams, that hurts. That schedule is brutal, but they do have the coach in Lincoln Riley. As much as I don't like him, I mean, he is a quarterback whisperer. He has never struggled to find a quarterback. I mean, we went through this when he was at Oklahoma.
No, but he's never found a defense in his life.
No, he hasn't, but he's always found a quarterback. All of that to say, I don't think that he can get there this year. I think that they're going to be right on that 7-win line, and so I'm going to go under, but it wouldn't shock me if they found a way to get that 8th win.
I have them at 6 wins, if it shocks you.
They could start off the year at 2-4.
Yeah, easily.
It's a possibility, and Lincoln Riley might need Joe Biden to do like this death cover-up story for him, like Lincoln Riley's dead or whatever. He might need that because it's going to be tough if you start off at 2-4 at USC. Washington, 7.5 is their win total. They went 12-0 last year. Tyler.
Yeah, they ain't going 12-0 this year. Welcome to the Big Ten. A tough schedule. Lost their quarterback. Lost their coach. The three biggest things I'm judging this on did not go their way. They're going under.
Derek?
Wow, this is an easy over for me. I don't think they drop off the charts that much. They still got a lot of talent there. I think
they didn't have a lot of talent last year.
I think Jed Fish is a good coach.
And
Tyler, you talk about their schedule. What? I mean, they got Weber State Eastern Michigan and Washington State for non-conference. I mean, they miss out on Ohio State.
They will lose to Washington State. Guaranteed, they would lose to Washington State. Washington State's going to want to bend them over.
They get Michigan, who's a shell of themselves. They got USC, who they've already played 1,000 times. And they got Oregon, who they played every year. UCLA. I mean, the schedule doesn't set up that bad for them.
I mean, they're going to have that West Coast to East Coast trip to Rutgers. That's going to be a tough one.
I think there's enough skill and talent on this team to at least get to the 8 wins. I'm not saying that they're going to be 12-0 again, but I think they're at least an 8 win team pretty easy.
Yeah, so this is a slight under for me. I could see anywhere from 7-8 wins. They are not going to be 12-0, as Derek, as you said, but I think they are going to be. It's going to be a big surprise coming to the Big Ten, and give me a slight under. Penn State 9.5 wins is their season win total. They went 10-2 last year. Tyler,
I mean, this is like the opposite. I think they've got the coach, they've got the quarterback, and they got the schedule. I think all things lined up for the Nittany Lions to go over here. So, yeah.
Derek?
I like him with the slide over. This was a tough one for me. James Franklin has been known to be a really, really good coach, but it seems like they've underachieved at times, and other times they play fine. I do like Drew Allar coming back. I think that helps them a lot. I think they'll get to the 10 wins, but I don't see them going anywhere near over that.
But is a little bit of Penn State underachieving the fact that they've had Ohio State and Michigan every year, and they've played those teams tough?
No, it's not that, because it's not like they're winning 10 games every single year and those are the only two teams they're losing to. They're losing to other teams that they shouldn't be losing to.
I'm gonna try pulling that up, but like they have a lot.
Last year they had a good year. The year before that, I believe they struggled. The COVID year, they were absolutely dog shit.
They were terrible the COVID year. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But I mean, you know, James Franklin has. I mean, the last 2 years has gone over 10. 2019, the year before COVID, they had 11. 2018, 9. 2017. 11, 2016, 11. I mean, gosh, he had, outside of the COVID year, 1 year in 2021 when he really struggled. I think he's a hell of a coach, and I think that you look at their losses, it seems like it's been Ohio State and Michigan the last couple of years.
Yeah, this is an easy over for me. So, like, they're tough games. They have Ohio State. They get Ohio State and Washington at home. They go on the road to Purdue, Minnesota, USC. But, I mean, here's a hot take for you. I think Penn State will play in the Big Ten title game in 2024.
On the board.
Wow.
Yeah, I think. I can certainly see them playing in the Big Ten title game. So, yeah, over. All three of us have it over.
Because I definitely don't see them there. But.
All right, Michigan, 9.5. They were 12-0 last year regular season. Derek, this one's back to you.
Man, this is another brutal schedule. New coach, basically all new team. They lost I believe they lost all their offense but one player. And I don't know. I think they lost most of their defense too. This is legitimately a shell of what Michigan was last year. Everybody talked about Washington being a shell of what they were last year. This is even worse. Like, they lost everything.
And they're still going to get everybody's best shot when they line up. They line up on Saturdays.
You're
absolutely
they're right.
They will
get
everybody's best shot because they.
You're absolutely right. They will.
And cheating.
And that's why I have them at under. I mean, they're going to win some games. I don't think they're going to drop off the charts and be like a 6-6 team or anything. But if they get to 9 wins, it's a pretty good year for them, I think.
Yep.
Especially with the schedule, the way the schedule sets up.
Tanner.
Yeah, here's the equation. Coach, new. Quarterback, new. Schedule, brutal. No quorum. I mean, they're not going to be bad by any stretch. I mean, and still when you're thinking about the teams you don't want to play, there's not three ahead of Michigan, but they're not going to get to double digits.
Ernest Hausman might be the biggest star on that team at this point.
Why would you say that? That's just mean.
All right, so that's three unders for the defending national champion. Wow. I'm kind of shocked there. Nah, not too much. All right, Oregon. Two teams left. Oregon and Ohio State, they are each at 10.5. Both of them went 11-1 last year. Starting with Oregon, Tyler.
I'm going to go over. I like the coach. I think of all the teams that are coming over, I think they get the easiest schedule. I'm not saying it's an easy schedule, but I think they get the easiest of all of them. You know, they do have that early bye in September, which is kind of something I was looking at. But overall, I think they do find a way to get over. I mean, there's certainly two losses on that schedule, but like I really kind of pencil in that one at Michigan is kind of the one that I think is most likely for them. But I think they can get to 11-1. And I love their coach. I really do. I love their coach there. So,
Derek.
I agree. Dan Lanning, I think, is a great coach. This was a great team last year. They're changing quarterbacks, but I think getting Dylan Gabriel's pretty good switch
at quarterback. That's an upgrade. Bo Nix was great, but Dylan Gabriel, yeah. I mean, he's an upgrade, right?
I mean, you don't lose anything with him for sure, but yes, he's probably an upgrade.
Yeah.
I love Oregon. I think their only true test is probably for this particular team is probably Ohio State. It's at home. I'm sorry, Tyler. I know Michigan's at on the road. I struggle to think that Michigan has much of a chance against Oregon this season. Not with where they're at. I got over. Maybe they lose to Ohio State, but that's about it.
So I tipped my hand with Penn State, and Penn State's going to be playing Oregon in the Big Ten championship. Oregon, this is an easy over. I like everything that they're bringing back. I know they're coming to a new conference, but their schedule is pretty manageable for the most part, right?
Yeah.
I mean, 11 wins is easy. I mean, to me, I mean, I think there's a realistic possibility that they go through the Big Ten 12-0. I won't say that, but I think they'll get to the Big Ten championship. Ohio State, 10.5, 11-1 last year. Derek, I think it's your turn.
All right. First off, I want to shame Ohio State here. After all the mockery of Michigan last year and talking about their non-conference schedule, Michigan's non-conference is Akron, Western Michigan, and Marshall. What the easiest, not one of the, it is the easiest non-conference schedule out there.
Yeah.
And I know Tyler's going to come out with some bullshit of, well, you know, Western Michigan won the MAC last year and they were really good.
But did they win the MAC?
This is the easy, I don't know. I'm just made to blow, it's just something Tyler would say. Akron, you know, Nebraska didn't beat Akron because the game got canceled. And they were really tough that year. So I don't know.
They were
He'll have some kind of. That's my Tyler voice, by the way. Ohio State's schedule is relatively easy, other than at Oregon. They get Michigan at home. They have to go to Penn State, which is a little tough, I guess.
Kind of.
But beyond that, I don't see. Plus, Ohio State has everybody coming back, except for their quarterback. But they got Will Howard at quarterback, and I think he's going to be really good. But even if he's not, they have like 2 5-star guys behind him. So they're going to find a way to have a good quarterback. They have some of the best wide receivers in the nation.
No longer
they
Marvin
got a
Harrison
great
Jr.
running back. They have what should be another good defense. They're I don't know. This is like their roster is like Alabama roster right now with everybody that came back. And I think they're too good. And I have them over, and I disagree. I think it's Ohio State and Oregon, a rematch in that game for that game for the Big Ten championship.
Okay. Tyler?
Not a terrible take on that. Again, you know, if I'm thinking about the toughest ones we did tonight, you know, I'd point to the Minnesotas and the USCs, and this is right there. I mean, they're 10 or 11 wins. I don't think there's really a whole lot else they do. I do have a little bit of question on that quarterback room. I do like Will Howard. Does he quite jive there? I think that's a big question mark. To be determined. Their schedule, their non-con is trash, Derek. I can't argue that, but they make up for it in conference play. I mean, at Michigan State, at Oregon, at Penn State, they obviously still play Michigan, who is owned
Ohio. How is this the first time Michigan State got brought up as a tough game?
It's on the road. It's on the road.
There's other teams that have to go there.
I mean, I think that there's a chance they can drop two games in there. I mean, at Northwestern, I could see them dropping that game in November. Like,
I mean, absolutely. It's Big Ten play. There's a chance anybody could drop two games.
I just sit there and say, are they likely to get 10 or 11 wins? That's the bar.
When I look at the schedule and I look at what I tried to do is I went through the schedule and I went, are they more talented than that team? Do they have more talent than that team?
But the answer is yes.
And Ohio State has more talent than everybody, with the exception of maybe Oregon.
Probably more than Oregon. But
probably more than Oregon, too.
Can I say how is the Chip Kelly-Ryan Day relationship going to be?
I mean, if Chip Kelly's really actually willing to sit back and just take care of that offense, that scares me.
What the hell does Ryan Day do now? Like, he's been calling plays, hasn't he? Like,
let him be the CEO that he's supposed to be.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to go on.
That should be like a Frost-Whipple relationship.
Yeah, I think it's a little weird.
There's a possibility of that, too. But
it's a little weird.
I have to say
dynamic.
This. If that's the case, Ryan Day's probably gone after this.
Oh, 100%. I agree with you. I think they go under. I think this is going to be 11's tough. 11's tough for them.
Yeah, and I'm under also. And here's two teams. These are two losses that I'm calculating when I did this to make these picks here.
Penn State
on
Oregon.
March 12th, right? March 12th, and I'm like already projecting out 10 months what's going to happen, right? But at Oregon and at Penn State, I think both of those are losses.
Yeah,
they're both losses in my head on March 12th.
And yeah, again, I agree with you, Justin. I think those were the two games that. I know I brought up.
I can't see Penn State beating them, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, so not a lot of disagreements. I thought we would be a little bit more divided on a lot of these, but my God, we had a lot of the same reactions here. So I'm curious on as the summer comes. You know, we get through spring ball, and then once the summer comes around, then we start getting the that. Itchy finger for college football in the fall, and we're diving.
I'll have Nebraska probably making the playoff at 10-2.
Probably.
Well, exactly. I was going the opposite way. You start seeing, oh crap, Minnesota has four offensive linemen coming back. Man,
yeah,
maybe they will
year,
be good.
So it'll be all right.
You start doing that research. You get a little bit of that spring read. You see maybe an injury here or there that drops a team. All those little tweaks that
a post spring transfer.
Someone bails, someone comes in.
That's gonna be key right there because there's gonna be the transfer portal opens up, I believe, April 15th.
Well,
if I remember right,
you're gonna
see a lot of transfers again.
And we talked about this at the beginning, guys. Like the transfer we didn't know about. Like holy crap, they got him! I didn't realize that they got this guy. Because it's impossible in March to keep 18 teams all their rosters straight, so we'll dial that in. But yeah, I the subject to change on these.
How many of these over unders would you actually be comfortable with locking in today?
UCLA.
UCLA, and your UCLA pick was over, right?
Under.
Under? Oh, okay.
Yeah. I honestly think they might finish last in the Big Ten.
Okay.
Probably my most comfortable one would be Minnesota over.
Minnesota over? I like Minnesota over, I like the Iowa over, and I like UCLA under.
I also like Northwestern under. I'm pretty confident on that one.
Yeah.
But I was very outvoted on that one, so.
The only one I'd probably bet is looking at this would be UCLA. I think I won't bet Iowa. I refuse to do that. I think my confidence rankings, that's like my...
That could be your number one confidence being over, and you still would not bet it.
No, I 100%.
All right, before we get out of here, we're running long, guys. We got to talk about top three easiest schedules and top three toughest schedules. So, Derek, give your top three easiest schedules.
All right. I kind of alluded to it already. Ohio State, shame on you. Great, easy gravy schedule. Iowa's up there. No, they miss out on Michigan, Oregon, USC, Penn State. Their only non-conference game is Iowa State. And I put Nebraska in there. I think Nebraska has one of the easiest schedules out of the Big Ten. Yeah. I mean, their only non-conference game is against, 4-8 Colorado?
Yeah.
I believe is what they were last year.
UTEP was like 3-9 last year, and Northern Iowa,
There's really, honestly, no reason for Matt Rule not to get to 8 wins this year. I say that, but I know that there'll be some losses that we don't expect. But that when you look at the what you perceive as roster on each of the team that we play, there's really only two tough teams that we play. It's Ohio State and USC.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
So, Derek, to recap that. So, OSU, Nebraska, and who?
Iowa.
All right. Tyler?
So, a lot of teams kind of were in this. I was kind of similar. But my easiest schedule was Iowa. I think Iowa, just easiest schedule in the conference. Derek, you kind of hit on that. You know, who they avoid. The non-conference isn't that daunting. Overall, their bye set up right. I know they go to Ohio State, but that's really about it. You look at the number two. I went Penn State. Again, one of the reasons I have them over, I think their road games shape up really nice. Yeah, Ohio State's scary at home, but they avoid Oregon. They avoid Michigan. Two of the big dogs, non-conference. I do have respect for Country Roads in West Virginia, but not really thinking they're going to fit up with the Nittany Lions. And then number three, I got Nebraska.
Okay.
So two of the three the same. But that's kind of my order.
Yeah, so we all have Nebraska in our top three for easiest schedules. I mean, Matt Rule, he's...
Is that their number one, Justin?
No, so I don't have these in order, really. These are just the top three easiest schedules. I wrote it down as my third one, but I have Indiana. I think Indiana, Michigan State, and Nebraska. Those are my three. When I graded all of these, all the teams that you guys named out, except Ohio State, I kind of had them as an H, cross out E, cross out H, cross out. So I'm indifferent on them, but I agree with all of your picks as well. Top three there. So top three toughest schedules. Tyler.
My number one is welcome to the Big Ten, USC. Woo! Your non-conference does not help with Notre Dame and LSU. But, God, having to go to Michigan and then still having to play at Washington, very, very at Maryland, I think is a tough game. Really tough there. Number two, UCLA, another welcome to the Big Ten. LSU, non-con, brutal. At Penn State, at Washington, scary opponents. And then still having to play Oregon at home. And then number three, Wisconsin. Alabama, still Alabama, and then having to play Penn State and Oregon, which, Justin, I kind of agree with you, that is probably what I have in the Big Ten championship is still going to USC. Really tough there. So, yeah, that's my top three.
Derek?
I'll start with this. I did have Wisconsin as my honorable mention for toughest schedules. Their schedule is pretty brutal. However, they did not make the top three. I have USC number one. That is one brutal schedule.
Same number one.
I think that's pretty easy across the board. Maybe Justin will disagree. I don't know. I mean, you also forgot they got to play Penn State. I mean, it's just an absolute brutal schedule. I got Michigan number two. They got Texas, USC, at Washington, Oregon. And they play Arkansas on the non-conference schedule.
Yeah,
like that's a brutal schedule. Michigan took the year off to win the national championship, and now they're back to big boy football. And
that's why Harbaugh left. He took the easy route. He's like, peace out.
I mean to play two SEC teams in your non-conference out of the three, that's pretty tough. And I actually went with Minnesota over Wisconsin. Tyler, I think North Carolina's going to be another good team again this year.
Hmm.
And they got to go to Michigan, who still will be tough. They got USC, and they got Penn State. I think Michigan's schedule, or Minnesota's schedule,
they probably were my honorable
relatively
mention.
Tough.
Really? Yeah. I marked them down as easy.
I thought they had a tough schedule.
All right, so here's mine. My number one was Michigan. Derek, you already said it. I mean, they have a brutal schedule. Texas, Arkansas, and Fresno State, we talked about this earlier, they are no slouch. My number two was USC. And my number three, I want to hear what you guys think of this. My number three is Purdue. I mean, non-con, they have Notre Dame and a really good Oregon State team last year, along with at Wisconsin, they get Oregon, they get Ohio State, they get Penn State. That is a brutal schedule. So if you want to know why Purdue cannot get past 4.5, it's because they're playing some really good teams in football.
I had looked at Purdue as well. I just thought for their level of talent, they have a very brutal schedule. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, there's very few gimmies, if there's any gimmies. I mean. No gimmies on the schedule. Indiana State, there's a gimme.
And I'm gonna tell you guys this, and I hate to say it, but enjoy it while it lasts, because these non-conference tough games are going to disappear. You're going to start seeing more of the Ohio State this year and Michigan last year type of schedules.
And when they do that, I hope they go to 10 conference schedules, 10 conference games.
And they may, who knows. But these... I don't know. It's going to be terrible football. It won't be terrible football, but it'll be disappointing football when we start seeing it happen.
Yeah, and I want to just add this. If you're following along at home, just transparency. Really, when I started looking at my toughest, I was looking at a little bit of non-con, and then the four what I could perceive big boys in the Big Ten this year, which are Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State, and Oregon. And why Iowa was the easiest.
And it's really almost silly to put Michigan in there.
But their reputation.
Because they have so much loss.
I mean, here
is my deal. Like, if you're going to put Michigan in there, you have to put Washington in there as a big boy.
But the problem that...
They both played for the national championship last year. And they both have about the same amount coming back. They both lost their coaches.
But
they're in almost the exact same situation.
Fair. A little bit of the difference is I think Washington has to adapt to the Big Ten.
That's fair.
And if you want to say there's a fifth team in the Big Ten, you know, Washington would definitely. I mean, I didn't think about this, but Washington is probably in that category along with USC and Iowa and Nebraska. As I'm thinking out loud of like who I think are really at that tier. Maryland's probably up there, but like the. I just think going to the Big Ten is going to be hard. And with a new coach, new system, new quarterback, I just think that's too much for Washington.
All right, for those listeners that are still listening to us right now, we are going to get back into Husker football next week when we come back. We will talk about the strengths and weaknesses of the position groups headed into the spring. This has been a fun episode, guys, but we got to get out of here. Special thanks to our producer, Connor Russell, for putting this audio together for us. Be sure to follow the Husker Cuzcast on Twitter, at Husker Cuzcast. Like us on Facebook. Look for episodes anywhere you get your podcasts. Hit that subscribe button, and don't forget to rate and review. On behalf of Derek and Tyler, we want to thank everybody for listening. As always, go Big Red.